God bless you. My name is Aaron. I'm going to give tonight's teaching. And tonight's teaching is going to be about word of knowledge and word of wisdom. What is word of knowledge? What is the word of wisdom? How do we know that there's gravity? You have to have evidence of gravity. So how can I manifest evidence? Gravity, evidence of gravity is something actually falling. You can see it's being pulled down. That's called a manifestation of gravity. There's other manifestations of gravity also, but that is one a manifestation that we have a gravitational pull. The word of knowledge and word of wisdom is a manifestation of the spirit that is inside of us. When somebody becomes saved with the spirit living inside us, Yahweh through Christ inside of us, we have evidences. What's the purpose of this? I mean, I talked to one guy. Said he worked at a car dealership. And I said, "What if somebody gave you the keys to a brand new Ferrari?" You should have saw his eyes. He'd expect you to drive it, right? But yeah, what if you never opened the owner's manual? I mean, if you got something that big, you at least read the owner's manual. What exactly? Guys, so our Father has given us something better than any Maserati or any kind of race car. We'll start off at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, real quick. What is evidences of that somebody is saved? Any kids? How can somebody prove that they have the Holy Spirit, that they're saved? The easiest one was done on the day of Pentecost. Makes you stronger. Perfect prayer, sacred secrets, gives thanks. Excellently. What is it? Speaking in tongues. Speaking a language you've never learned. It's page 175. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Looking forward to going to Corinth soon. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, this is going to be a real quick flyby. So if you don't get it, this will be through recording. Chapter 12, verse 7, it's going to say, these are the evidences that somebody has Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifesting of the Spirit. I'll go down to verse 8. For unto indeed through the Spirit is given a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is stop. Don't go. All of us have had it. And what the neat thing is that we get to talk to a believer. Even when I try to tell somebody how Yahweh talks to them, I go, you know what I do now? You know how He talks to you. Everybody knows how He talks to you. Every believer knows how He talks to you. You're like, I know I'm not supposed to be doing that. I also know what I'm supposed to be doing too. Right? But the word of knowledge is stop or don't go, right there. The next one's going to be a word of wisdom. We see in verse 8, it's also verse 8, a word of wisdom. Another one's going to be a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is, you forgot your wallet. You forgot your passport. Well, I'm going to the airport. I don't have my... So that's called a word of wisdom, okay? And tonight's teaching about a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Then verse 9, faith. Andrew Womack has supernatural faith. This guy's faith is off the charts. And most of his teaching is probably 90% wrong. So how in the world can he have such great faith when most of his teaching is wrong? Because he manifests a lot of faith. It just shows you how powerful faith is. He's excelling in that one area. Verse 9 also is healing. Smith Wigglesworth took a body out of a casket, threw it up against the wall, and said, walk. This is at a funeral. What if you're at that funeral? And he pulled your friend out of the casket and threw up against a wall and the body fell down. Would you be angry? Yes. But what if he reached out, picked it up again, and he said, I said walk! And he threw up against the wall again. And guess what happened after a couple times? The dead body walked. Do you think anybody had any doubt that this guy represents Yahweh? That's mighty works or healings. The next one's going to be mighty works. What is a mighty work? So all of us should think about this, and we're supposed to all work on all of these things. We're all gifted in certain areas. But the next one's going to be mighty works. What could a mighty work be? Maybe that's Heidi Baker going to Mozambique. And she also was prophesied she was going to heal blind people. So she ministered to people that were blind. She sought out people that were blind. I need to find blind people. Why? Because somebody in Toronto says, I'm going to heal people that are blind. And she failed, It appears she failed. It always works. It appears she failed. She's ministering to blind people, and it looks like it's not working. We don't know the rest of the story, but we do know that eventually, guess what happened? Guess whose eyes are open? Another example of a mighty works or healing is David Runney, opening 3 deaf ears this year. How do you do that? There are people in that crowd that maybe they're not saved. But when they get to see a mighty work like that, they go, that guy is saved. The first time I was prophesied to when I was 19, the guy walks in, I looked at him, he irritated me. Everything about him just rubbed me wrong. He had this beard that didn't look right. And you know, when you're 19 or 20 years old, you know, or your guy's age, you compare everybody to your dad, right? That is not my dad. My dad's John Wayne, man. My dad's the toughest of the tough. And I looked at this guy, kind of bothered me, but then through that man, Yahweh read my mail, gave me a prophecy, and I started crying, and snot was coming out of my nose in front of everybody. I never cried in front of anybody, except for my big brother when he beat me up. But voluntarily cry. What just happened? That was a manifestation of the Spirit. The next is verse 10, prophesying. All of us can prophesy, but some people are going to be really gifted at it. That's another manifestation. A discrimination of spirits. You can look at somebody and go, something's not right with that person. You can go into a gas station, you can go into a restaurant, you can go someplace and you look, you're just, dad, something's not right with that person. A lot of times it can be kids too. You can look and something's not right. A lot of times with a young kid, they might be bouncing off of walls and bouncing off of walls and bouncing. You go, something's not right. That's Yahweh inside you explaining something. Speaking in tongues, translations of tongues. How many manifestations do we have of the Spirit? And I just flew through those, but there's 9 manifestations that Yahweh gives us. Tonight's teaching is on an example of word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And I'll try to keep this short. This testimony short. It's not going to make sense. So I've been losing a war with weeds in my yard. Yahweh gave me the house. He didn't just give me the house. He made the house available. And through my family and through acts of faith, I was able to subdue the land. The land of Canaan's mine. Wait a minute. How am I going to take care of all this stuff? I need a retired roommate. But all my yards, the weeds are taking over. I have all these weed problems, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to take care of such a big yard. So in order to save money, I go buy all this product, these chemicals, and so I have an idea. I have an agenda. I checked off the box. Okay, I'm being a good steward. The next day at the office, I talked to Dad about I call them the yard wars. I walk out there, oh, he snuck up on me again. These weeds are like Philistines and the Amalekites. Ah, they're back. Anyways, at fellowship, my dad goes, you know, I think about hiring a lawn service. Okay, that got my attention because my dad's more frugal than I am, and hiring a lawn service is now is less expensive as I am. But when he said that, it rung a bell something inside me. I just had a feeling that he might be right with something like that. It's not what I wanted to do. I don't want to return all these chemicals and stuff. I don't want to start all over again. But anyway, they kind of put it there. It's just, okay, maybe, maybe not. The next morning as I get up to go to work, I'm going to go on my morning run. I usually don't do anything until after my morning run and I pray and then I get my coffee. And then I can get down and I can meditate. But this morning, I got a would have been a word of knowledge. Pray now. All right. And I'm in my underwear. Haven't even got my shoes on. I get back down on the ground. And all of a sudden, ding. Aaron is being communicated. Initiate the lawn service. Get that ball rolling. I'm like, all right. So I'll go grab my index card. I put lawn service, check one. Okay, it's the first thing I do today. Usually I don't get information until I get done running. I ask Yahweh, I make a checklist. What do you want me to do today? I go on my run, I come back, I drink my coffee, I'm feeling good, I'm listening to the word of promise, and as I look down, there's my index card, I've been a lawn service. I'm like, oh, great, here we go. Anyway, so I Google lawn service, True Green Chem Lawn pops up first. I call, and I'm going to call a couple different places. This girl that I speak to on the phone is an excellent salesman. I mean, she's really, really good. She has almost all my questions answered just like this. And then as I'm backing out of the conversation, she starts lowering prices and lowering prices and lowering prices until the price is so low, I'd be an idiot not to pull the trigger. Just do it. All right, and I don't want to do this anyway, so I want to be impulsive. If it's something you don't want to do, you're going to be more impulsive anyways. So as I'm on the phone, she's got all the way down to the lowest price. It's going to be $45, man. And all of a sudden, ding. Another communication comes in. Aaron, don't do anything with this phone call. And she's still talking, and she's getting her hopes up. She's going to get some sort of sale. And all of a sudden, I know what I'm supposed to do. All of us have that. You know, you can do whatever you want. He told you to go left. If you go right, you said it. You messed up. And I'm sitting there, and at this point, I did not do what I normally weekly would do. Normally, what I do is I just want to get this thing over with. I'm going to rush to it. Fine, guys. Oh, it's too late. I'm so sorry. I'll have to forgive this later. But I didn't. I acted like somebody called on the phone. I said, oh, excuse me. Oh, yes, yes. And she's still talking to me, and I start talking to somebody else. I'm trying not to be rude. So eventually, she stops talking because she can hear me talking to my imaginary friend over here. And then I go, you don't want me to do it? Hey, Shelly, I'm going to have to call you back. Something came up. What? What? She didn't want to. I said, hey, you're at the bar. I said, you're going to have to call. She goes, I'll call you back in 45 minutes. I go, fine. My thought was, he doesn't want me to make the first purchase on the first phone call. That makes sense, right? You never buy on the first sale. You go to the second, third. So anyway, they go to Google, get the next one. I said, who's the biggest competitor? True Green. Call them. The guy was horrible. Phone call last 2 minutes. It was horrible service. The other guy just hung up. Ah, I got to get to work. But I initiated the process, and while on the phone, on the same index card, I wrote the price, how much it'd be next month, the next month, the next month. I had everything quoted. I go to work, have a great day at work, wonderful things happening, everything's going right. I'm good. And I look down and go, I got everything done, I can go work out now early. Yes. I can rush home, change my clothes, I get back into my car, and I'm in my driveway. I start backing up, and as I back up, I look down, and in my cup holder is the index card with True Green's phone number and all the prices I was quoting. I look down, I haven't checked it off the list yet. I go, I got 5-10 minutes. I can do this. That's what I'm thinking. I'll just give a phone call between here and the gym and possibly actually wrap this up because the girl never called me back. I make the phone call. Another girl answers the phone. Her name is Michaela. And she's not nearly as good at sales as the other girl. She starts talking and go, hey, look, I got 4 minutes, and if you can wrap this thing up, then we'll go ahead and do this right now. And she goes, okay, blah, 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 blah. I pull into the gym. I look inside the gym. People are inside the gym waving at me. I'm sitting in the car. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to work out, right? We're wrapping things up, and she goes, I need your name. I need your address. Give her name and the address. She goes, I need your phone, your email address, too. I'm sitting there. I want to wrap this whole thing up. I said, my email is onfire, O-N-F-I-R-E, 4, F-O-R, spelling it out. And as soon as I said it, she went, and I'm on my Bluetooth. I'm like, and she went, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And she's sitting in a cubicle on a 1-800 number. I have no idea where she is in the United States. You can hear everybody else talking. Kemlon's huge. And she goes, I'm so sorry, go back. What's the next word? I go, I thought somebody stabbed her with a letter opener. Ah! I go, the next one is Christ. So it's on fire for Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T at Outlook.com. She goes, okay, well, thank you very much. It's going to be $45. I'm going to study, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, let's wrap this thing up. She goes, okay, I'm just going to send you over to compliance and we'll have this thing done. I go, compliance. And then, before she sent me to compliance, she goes, Mr. Cunningham, I got to tell you something. I said, yeah. She said, when you said that I was writing down your email on fire, and you said four, she goes, I knew the next word was going to be Christ. I stop for a second. I go, wait a minute. And then I get communication. This is a divine appointment. Something else is going on here. She just got a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. The next word is. How would she know it's going to be Christ? And she goes, I go, amen. And then I talked about Jesus Christ is alive. He's inside of us. He's communicating. He must have told you what that is. She goes, amen. This is too. She goes, well, is that your ministry? Is it on fire for Christ? Is that what it is? .com? She's sitting in a telemarketing booth asking about our ministry. She doesn't hardly know anything about me.
No.
But this communication that Yahweh through Christ did inside of her had her starting a whole other conversation. Obviously, I'm slowing down. I go, no, it's Teleios Ministries. I spell out T-E-L-E-I-O-S, ministries.com. She goes, what's Teleios? This is the Greek word for mature, complete. I said, it's not for the people that just want traditions of men. It's not for the vanilla Christian that didn't care what the word says. It's for people that are preparing for that final meeting with Christ. What did you do with my word? Did you say? She goes, amen. She goes, that sounds exactly what I want. She goes, I go to a prophetic church. How many times do you guys get to hear that? Somebody else initiating issues. I go to a prophetic church. I usually don't get to talk to anybody about stuff like this. we go to church all the time. And I was like, well, excuse me, that part hadn't happened yet. I'm sorry. I tell her, teleosministries.com. And then and whenever somebody's buying something for me, I go, hey, I got a favor before I sign. They go, what's your favor? You might have to pray for it. What's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39?
Be zealous to prophesy.
Be zealous to prophesy. Covet to prophesy. Okay, I'm all right. Here it is. And I go, so I go into prophecy. I start praying for her, start praying for these things. And I go, and then all of a sudden, Yahweh through me, through Christ, gives her a prophecy. It says, you're right where you need to be. You have a ministry that nobody understands. And other people don't understand, but you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're doing what you're called to do. It doesn't matter if people understand or not. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. You know Christ is inside you, and He's so proud of you because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And if you meditate, if you can focus on how happy Christ is at His desk, at His Father's right hand, when you obey Him, imagine His face. The joy you will receive by meditating on that is going to overflow with joy, and everybody in your office is going to be receiving from the fruit from that, or something of that sort. Anyways, I'm like, so I just give a prophecy. Now, to you guys, that's a common testimony coming from me, right? A little bit of silence. She went, amen. Oh my goodness. And then she says, I go to a prophetic church. I didn't know she was a prophetic church before I gave a prophecy. And then I get out of the car because I want to go to the gym, and I start walking after my trunk to get my gym bag. I'm trying to wrap this thing up, right? As I open up my trunk to grab my gym bag, she says, Aaron, I got to tell you something. She was normally, in order to get a word, I had to go to my church. It's a prophetic church, but we don't usually even give words like that. But this morning on my way to my work, I was lost. I was confused. I didn't feel like I was where I needed to be. And I needed help. I needed confirmation. And I didn't know who to ask. She goes, for some reason, I get embarrassed to ask people to give me a word. Can anybody else relate to that?
Yeah.
So she pulled her car over. And she prayed, send somebody to give me a word. I have my trunk open. I'm trying to grab my gym bag. And everything stops. And I go, are you serious? And she went, yes, I got my word. And then I stopped and I said, Michaela, let me tell you the whole story about today and how this all worked out and how He connected everything. Because calling True Green to start a conversation that I didn't want to, and then goes, stop the conversation. What? You start it, stop. Didn't make any sense to me. But now this all makes perfect sense. And she went, thank you so much. And all I could start thinking is the wheels started turning. Can you imagine her testimony at whatever church she is on a 1-800 number? I'm going, wow, how neat is that? And we're going to turn to John 14:49, and then she said, I'm going to send you on over to compliance. And so I was like, yeah, compliance can hear me in the locker room. They can listen to me change. I'm all about Bluetooth on. But how come? Now we're going to turn to John 14, verse 49, page 108. Think about how important it is. Why should we covet the prophesying? I know a guy gave me a prophecy when I was 19 years old, and he gave Rachel a prophecy and your mom a prophecy in front of our dad, and had our dad not taken us to that meeting. I've never seen that man since. Christ, through that man, gave him three prophecies, transformed our whole life. Everything changed. Everything. What if that guy would have held his tongue? And he didn't ask him to give us a prophecy, he just prayed. We're looking at that going, how many things did He transform? And why should we covet the prophesy? Who's inside us? He knows what everybody in here needs to hear. I know what He goes, I know what you need. I know what you need. I know what you need. And He goes, I just need somebody to deliver my packages. And actually, I was talking to Michaela. I told her, I want you to email me. You have my phone number. Call me or text me anytime you need a word. Anytime. She goes, are you serious? I said, 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, covet to prophesy. Be zealous to prophesy. We're commanded to do it good. She goes, where does it say that? Write it down. And here this whole thing is. And I go, we're like mailmen. I used to say we're mailmen. It's up to them to decide what's the paycheck. But then as I was talking to her, I went, no, we're better than mailmen. Because you don't know what a mailman's bringing. I don't like my mailman very often because it's bills. But the UPS guy, I like that guy. He brings boxes and presents. It's like Christmas. When we prophesy, we're bringing gifts. Now, inside of the gift, the box, the prophecy, there could be some some little those peanuts, whatever. And but they all know what they have. That's what we should cover the prophecy. 14:49. Would somebody please read that for me?
I will. So chapter 13.
Chapter 14.
14:49.
13:49. 12:49. Is it 12:49?
Yeah,
I think it's 12:49.
So chapter 12,
verse 49. Yeah. Okay, well, I wrote it down. No, hold on. No, guys, just pause. You guys are guessing. I wrote it down wrong.
12:49.
Yeah, it's 12:49. Okay.
Because I, out of myself, spake not, but the Father who sent me hath himself given me commandment what I should say and what I should speak.
Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, says, I only say what my Father tells me to say. So everything that came out of his mouth was from Yahweh. That's a good thing for us to remember, because there's times he called Peter Satan. There's another time that he said, who is my mother, my brother, and my sister? To his mom. Do you think that would hurt? I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ's heart? Do you think he had a better heart than you? Do you think he loved his mom more than you love your mom? Yeah. Do you think it was easy for him to say, who is my mother, who is my brother, my sister? And that's for all of us. All of us have a calling. And we're all going to be held accountable. And he had to sit there and go, was it his fault that his brother, his mom, brother, and sister were pulling him away? No. And that could be for any of us, but people with good intentions say, no, but he's... How do you think that made him feel after he even said it? Man, that does not feel good. But it was right. But why did he say it? Yahweh told him to say it. Chapter 8, verse 28. Good job, whoever found 12:49. Was that you, Mel?
Yeah.
Excellent. We call that spotting in the gym. Nice spot. 8:28. Mel or Kay, who would like to read? 28:29.
Oh, Yahushua therefore said, whensoever ye shall lift up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and of myself am doing nothing. But just as the Father taught me, in the same things am I speaking. And he hath sent me, is with me, and hath not left me alone, because I, the things that please him, ever do.
Man, you think about it. I only do what my Father tells me to do. How do you think that made him feel to flip over the tables inside the temple? Man, that is not how you make friends. If anybody had a love for the Jewish people in the temple, who more than Jesus Christ?
Their Messiah.
Yeah, I mean, he would be disgusted with what's happening to it, but if anybody would have loved the history and some of the stuff, it would have been him. And here we go, I got to do something tough. John 14:15 and 15:14, we're going to use these scriptures because it says, I only say what my Father tells me to say. So these words are going to apply to Jesus Christ. 14:15.
What chapter?
14. It's an easy one to remember. 14:15 and 15:14 are two very similar verses, in my opinion. Esther, why don't you read 14:15?
Okay. If ye be loving me, my commandments ye will keep.
If you love me, do what I say. And who said that? Yehoshua did, but he only says what Yahweh tells him to say. So does this apply to his son too? Man, there's some tough stuff I got to do here. Do you think every tongue is going to confess and every knee is going to bow before who? Yehoshua Mashiach. The people spitting on him, beating the snot at him. Do you think he wanted to say a couple things? Would you want to say, I'll see you real soon? I'll be back. How would you like to? Do you think the adversary would have picked on his mom and his brothers and sisters? Do you think he would want to stick up for him? Absolutely. But he was supposed to keep his mouth shut. But he says, if you love me, you do what I say. And 15:14. Ye are my, Esther, why don't you read that for me?
So 15:14?
Yeah.
Ye are friends of mine. If ye be doing that which I am commanding you.
It's that you're my friends if you do what I tell you. That doesn't sound like an unconditional friendship, does it? No. That's very conditional. And all of us can decide whether we're friends with them on a daily basis. And so that, and in my case, it was prophesied. And actually, the prophecy comes easy because I do that a lot. You guys, I mean, I got all these. What was difficult for me was to call Kemlon, to start to stop it, and then start it again, all the rest of these things. It was not easy. But all of us know if we're walking in the light, what we're supposed to be doing. Now the point of showing all these is not to project what you're supposed to be doing. We're going to put all this on Christ Jesus. Now turn to Matthew. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, the Hebrews 11 verse 6, page 321. That's not the right page. I said 321, but Hebrews 11, 6. This is where a lot of people get really confused when they go, Jesus is Yahweh. You go, wait a minute. Ephesians 1:3 and Ephesians 1:17 says Jesus has a God and a Father. The Scripture says, he goes, I can't do anything on my own. The Scripture says when the woman with issue of blood touched Jesus, he goes, who did this? Why would he ask that? When they came to him and said, who's going to be seated at the right? They asked Jesus Christ, when are you going to be coming back? He goes, I don't know. Only my Father knows. Okay, does Yahweh know?
Yes.
Does Yahweh know? Did Yahweh know who touched Jesus Christ? Yes. Why did he just tell Jesus? What's Ephesians 6, 11, 6 say?
Ephesians.
I'm sorry, Hebrews 11, 6. Okay, you read it.
Wait.
You can read off the notes.
What verse? 11,
6.
But apart from faith, it is possible.
Impossible.
To be well-pleasing, for it, he that approacheth unto Yahweh must needs have faith that he is, and that to them who seek out him out. He rewarder becometh.
He becometh. Okay, that's good right there. It says it is impossible to be well-pleasing to Yahweh without faith. Who had to produce more faith than anybody was the second Adam, Yehoshua Mashiach. He had harder than anything we ever knew. So he didn't know everything. And so, here's another food for thought. Does he have to be producing faith now? Well, we know he can't please his Father without faith. So sometimes we think of Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand. He sat down. He's just relaxed. I'm honored. Flip, flip, flip. I did all my work. No. When he went to the right hand of Yahweh, he got busy, and guess what he's still doing? Producing faith. That's our leader. Now turn to Mark 11. Well, this is going to come full circle. So the scriptures is kind of like the beginning of my testimony. You're not quite sure where it was going. At least that was the idea. But after I told you the conclusion of the Kemlon, and I told you what happened with Michaela, at least what, did it make sense why I was supposed to be obedient? How big was that? A girl pulled over on the side of the road, asking for help. And what was her thing? You're right where you need to be. Don't quit. What? She's got a promotion. How important was that message? You go, okay, well, it didn't make any sense going into it. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 and 14. I'm sorry, I did. I said, getting a little excited. Mark 11, verse 12. Okay, Eli.
And on the morrow, when they came forth from Bethany, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree from afar, having leaves, he came. If thereof he should find aught in it, and coming up to it, nothing found he save leaves, for it was not the season of figs.
Okay, so we'll stop there for a second. We're going to marinate on this for just a second. How did that verse start? What did he see? A fig tree?
Yeah.
He wanted to go look for what?
Figs.
And then how did it end? Is it fig season?
No.
No. Now, does that make sense? Yehoshua said he only does what his Father tells him to do. He only says what his father tells him to say. Yehoshua's here. Is it the time of figs?
No.
No. Right now, I don't know what season. It's not now. It'd be apple season now. What's out of season?
Strawberries
or whatever. You think about it. You're going to go, here's Yehoshua. And Yahweh goes, hey, son.
Yes, Dad.
Go get some figs. It's not fig season. You just said, alright, I'm gonna go look for some figs. He goes to walk up to the tree. You can imagine, hey, boss, where are you going? I'm gonna go get some figs. And you know, Peter and James are like, it's not fig season. Did that make any sense? Didn't make any sense, did it? But he still did it. Is this peculiar behavior? Has he ever asked you to do something peculiar? Mm-hmm. And it didn't make sense? You know how many times I didn't do it because it was too peculiar? That doesn't make any sense. And then later on, I'm haunted. I know I blew it. Oh, man. If you do that, my mom and dad were great at it. They'd say, give me another shot. So if you blow it, get down on your knees, apologize, say I missed it. For whatever reason, give me another shot at it. But here's your host. You're going to go do some peculiar behavior. Okay, now verse 14.
And answering, he said unto it.
He said unto what?
Unto the tree.
He answered a tree, now he's going to talk to a tree. Okay?
No more unto time and age abiding, let anyone of thee eat fruit. And his disciples were listening.
I bet you they were listening. Hey, boss, where you going? Can you imagine we're out here? Here's your dad. All of a sudden, your dad gets up in the middle of the teaching. And you gotta go, hey, Dad, where are you going? I'm gonna go pick a pineapple. We don't have pineapples in Kansas. What are you talking? I'm gonna go pick a pineapple. And he walks out to my ash tree out there. He starts looking up the tree going, there's no pineapples. Duh. This is peculiar. But not only did it happen, Jesus Christ curses the fig tree for not having figs. But it's not fig season. Anybody feel sorry for that tree? Wait a minute! Whoa! Why are you going to curse me, man? It's not even season. I mean, would you go out and you curse something when it's not the season for apples? It didn't have anything? Now, we're not going to put one... I'm focusing on one side of the fig tree and stuff. There's a lot of different things about this. But the point of the teaching is, do you think Jesus Christ wanted to say those things and do those things? That didn't make any sense. Not at all. And did he think it make any sense there? And now he said, Elijah, I want you to go talk to that wall. Go tell that wall. Oh, man. Here we go. Are you sure? You can imagine Yehoshua going out and a lot of times praying, going, who prayed more than anybody? Talked to Yahweh and interceded with me. Like, what was going on with that? All right, well, I sowed that seed. Have you guys ever, all of us have been there where you sowed a seed, you did what you're supposed to do, and you still don't know what happened with it. It's okay to go with them. And sometimes I go back and go, did I miss it? Now I'm so really peaceful about it, but I know when Christ comes back, I'll get to find out about it. But can you imagine that night Jesus Christ going to talk to his dad? You're like, hey, what's up with the fig tree, man? Now, on a segue with the fig tree did represent Israel. Now, the people who do not believe in power love this illustration too. They're going to say, oh, he didn't literally mean kill the fig tree and literally move to do these things. What he meant is Israel. What I'm going to take from it is, this is a good example. If you're not bearing fruit, if a tree is not bearing fruit and you go to it and it's not producing any fruit, what are you doing?
Dig it up.
You say, our trees are decorative, but these trees were to do something. It was to work. It's like you keep a lure that doesn't work. You're going to toss it. So these days, they would have burned it up. So if you read like the paragraph Bible, and especially people that don't believe in power, they're going to say the whole point of this whole thing is to show what's going to happen to Israel. Who's going to reject Jesus Christ? Israel. And who's going to reject it until Acts 10? Israel rejected him as a Mashiach. But that's not the whole point of this. Because we're going to see, we look at this, and imagine what happened that night, and the disciples go, man, he acts so weird sometimes. But then they go, wait a minute, he only says what his father tells him to say, he only does what his father tells him to do. What the purpose of me calling Chemlon and doing those things, and I got a lot of work to go. I got a long ways to go before I'm even 10% what even Peter was. But we can see what the fruit of that was, right? A girl. How about this testimony? Mm-hmm. Right? How about the testimony in her church? Did it make sense now?
Yeah.
About being obedient? What was one of the biggest things that came out of the cursing the fig tree? A couple days later, they're walking by. Peter seeing the tree's dead. Master! Master! Verse 20. They're passing by early. They saw the tree that he talked to that was cursed for not producing fruit. This season it didn't produce fruit. Poor tree. Poor tree. He ain't doing it, right? No. You can imagine going out to look for fruit. And there's... How about you going out to an apple tree when all the... You know, it's winter. There's no leaves. I'm going to go get an apple. Okay. But anyways, passing by, they saw the fig tree withered up from its roots. And put in mind, Peter saith unto them, Rabbi, see, the fig tree which thou didst curse is withered. What's kind of neat is if I would have been Yehoshua doing that, I probably would have been going to go find that tree. Yehoshua wasn't even concerned. He's walking by it. He is obedient. That's what we got to be sometimes. Sometimes we tell somebody what to do, they don't do it. Just keep on walking. Just do what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we deliver a message, we're trying to help somebody, they don't do it. We have a tendency to go, I got to beg you. You got to come. So Yehoshua just keep on walking. And he's walking. That would be a good example of him walking by Israel after they rejected him. And answering, Yehoshua said unto him, have God's faith, or have Yahweh's faith. How important is that? It's not have faith in God, it's the genitive case. It's have Yahweh's faith. Is it important to have Yahweh's faith? Because right next to it, we see, verily I say to you, who shall say unto this mountain, be lifted up and cast? Who knows Mark 11, 22 to 24? Alright, you're up.
Have faith of Yahweh, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he speaketh cometh to pass, and shall be his. All things which ye are praying for and asking, for this cause I say unto you, all things which ye are praying for and asking, believe that ye have received, and they shall be yours.
How important is Mark 11, 22 through 24? And Mark 11, 22 through 24 is the fruit of Mark 11, 12 through 14. Mark 11, 12 through 14 is like the seed. And then the teaching comes back and goes, you can move mountains. And when you're asking, ask in a way like you already got it. Believe you have received it. And so we can look at that going, talking to trees, when Yahweh's telling them to do peculiar things. Actually, if he's telling you to do something peculiar, it could be that you're on the verge of something incredible.
That gets very exciting to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we can see that. What's neat about that, when he tells you to do something like that, sometimes he's going to tell you to do something and nobody else knows what he told you to do. You know you're supposed to go this way. Everybody else is going, what are you talking about? We got to go this way. But you know what you're supposed to do, right? Feels like you're being picked on, doesn't it? Right? You're a father. Sometimes he only tells you what to do and the rest of your family is supposed to go right and you're supposed to go left. How am I going to explain this to everybody? I've had that with certain times. He told me to do something and nobody else in my group necessarily knew what was going on. Sometimes everybody gets confirmation. That's easy, right? Yeah. We like those ones. It doesn't take much faith though, does it? When everybody agrees. But every once in a while they give you something nobody else even understands it. You're going to go, golly, you get confirmation 2-3 days later, you got more confirmation. Okay, I got more confirmation. I wish everybody else agreed with it. Well, this is going to take more faith. But when you get into a position like that and you feel like, man, why is Yahweh asking me to do something peculiar or difficult? Go, hey, lighten up. He told his own son to do stuff like that all the time. Hey, Yehoshua. Yeah, Dad, come here for a second. Yeah, what's up? I want you to go talk to that tree over there. What? Do you think Yahweh explained everything to Yehoshua? Nope. Because he had to produce faith. So you're in good company if he asks you to do something like that. I guess we'll have manifestations. I'll give a prophecy. And then we'll hear from everybody else. We thank you, Yahweh, through Christ Jesus, for Michaela. and for the testimony that you built in us, for the teaching. We thank for Ruth's birthday. It's been 3 years since her mom and her dad fought for her to just to be here. We thank you for that, the surgery, and for the doctors that did that surgery. We thank you for these words. Never be fearful about the future when you are in my word. When you separate yourself and when you're in a church and I'm inside you giving you peace on the direction you're supposed to go. There will be discomfort, but I am going that direction and I'm asking you to come with me.